going on, everybody? It's your buddy, it's your pal Spaz Phoenix, the YWC Reality Check, and this is your preview for NXT Roadblock 2024. Congratulations, you're getting this weekend instead of an episode of WWE last week, because my weekend's going to be kind of jacked. So check out this. Check out NXT Rewind that's dropping on Sunday. Nothing else is happening on Sunday, it's fine. NXT looking back at TakeOver London. It's a really, really good pod. It's already in the can. Watch for it in your feeds. On Sunday, Roadblock. It's not technically a pay-per-view, but it's kind of acting like Elimination Chamber in the fact that it is setting up for Stand and Deliver. Now, it is just an elevated episode of NXT. We don't have as much of the card announced as I would probably like. They're probably going to throw a bunch more on here. There's going to be talking segments. There's going to be all kinds of other shenanigans. But does give me a chance to talk about some of the stuff that's happened in NXT that I haven't been able to talk about in a while. Let's talk first and foremost about what happened just last night, because I'm recording this on Wednesday, you guys are getting this on Friday. The return to NXT of not Ty Dillinger, but Sean Spears, the chairman, attacking Ridge Holland, and he's been the guy behind all the spooky vignettes and all that kind of thing, talking about truth will come to the light and it'll be painful and all that kind of thing. Huge pop on NXT for Ty Dillinger, now keeping the Sean Spears name, which is awesome. And I do think there's a really, really entertaining dynamic going on X right now. And no, I don't mean the people that are trying to make Paul Heyman sound like a hate monger, although that is incredibly funny. And no, I don't mean the fake accounts posting that John Cena has an OnlyFans. I'm talking about the people that since yesterday have said, oh, Sean Spears, Cody Rhodes, Jade Cargill, they're all, they just look exactly like they did in AEW. They're mimicking their star power from AEW. Let me just think for a second. Maybe that's because the star power was with them and not with the company. Maple Leaf Gardens. A long ass time ago, the only NXT house show I was ever at. I think it was definitely Ty Dillinger's last match in NXT before he went to the main roster, but he was taking on, I forget what Ludwig Kaiser's name was before he was Ludwig Kaiser, but he was taking on them, and I didn't know who he was at the time, and he kept on yelling, 999, and the response from the crowd was clearly 10. That was a lot of fun. I like Ty Dillinger. I like Sean Spears. I don't know what they thought they were doing with him in AEW, if I'm honest. That's not a dig. If they were doing something magical with him, I don't get it. Is that fair? I think it's really cool. I think it adds to the long list, excuse me, of people that have come over or come back. You got Jade Cargill, you got CM Punk, you got Cody Rhodes, you've got Lexus King, you've got Nathan Frazier, you've got the Good Brothers. Let's not forget about the Good Brothers, and I'm going to talk about them again in a second, because they were in AEW for a cup of coffee, were they not? And it's just, it's not a dig, because moving between companies, it creates a fluid industry and people have options, and all that is awesome. That is one thing I will genuinely give to AEW and to a lesser extent TNA, who are trying to pull themselves out of the doldrums as well. Still hope they're doing okay. Everybody that doesn't like where they are should have somewhere else to go. I'm cool with that entirely. I do think somebody that's only been in WWE and wants to see what it's like in AEW is not the same as somebody who has now been in both and chooses WWE, like Cody Rhodes did, like CM Punk did, like now Sean Spears has, like Andrade has, like Aleister Black apparently is going to eventually. It's really cool. There are more dynamic characters that you could start him off with against than Ridge Holland, but Ridge Holland is doing this whole, like, oh my god, whenever I'm in the ring, I hurt people, even though I'm a wrestler and that's the point. I'm not gonna lie, he's not a main eventer, and people are saying, oh, what's the big deal? It's just Sean Spears. It's not like you got Moxley back or whatever. And here's the point about that. Number one, he's coming to NXT, and he's going to add some flavor to NXT, and he's a trainer, so I'm sure whoever he works with is going to gain all kinds of benefit from that. But the other side of the coin, there's a lot of people sort of scrambling around the main event scene right now, or people looking to break through from the mid-card to the main event scene. Now, when that happens, you need other people to pick up the rope in the mid-card and help the mid-card and enrich the mid-card. And that's where people like Sean Spears, like Andrade, like Aleister Black, if we get him back, are going to be really good. You don't just stack up the top of the card so that everybody argues over who should be in the top of the card that week. You bolster out the mid-card. You bolster out the women's division. If I could get Ember Moon back, if I could get Ruby Riott back, if other people, I guess, wanted Sasha Banks back, I'll give them that, whatever the case may be. She has her fans. You do it, you bring tag teams back. The rumors swirled not too long ago, but FTR possibly coming back. You don't just build the top of the pyramid. If anything, you build the bottom of the pyramid so the top of the pyramid gets risen up higher by default. And that's why I think Sean Spears is going to be an explosion in NXT? Probably not. Do I think Sean Spears is going to explode back onto the main roster? Probably not. But he'll be there to fill the gaps with somebody like, for example, you get Sean Spears versus Grayson Waller. That's on the mid-card of a show where potentially you're getting, off the top of my head, Finn Balor versus CM Punk. You need that. Something is only the main event because a mid-card came before it. And that's, I'm not going to be all lectury and this is how you should think about wrestling, because that's not the point, but I think it's pretty damn cool that Sean Spears is back in WWE, and the fact that he's back in NXT, and I don't know what it's going to do for Rich Holland. One of two things is going to happen, because he said he's going to be here for Roadblock next week, which is why I bring it up. One of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to feud with Rich Holland, or he's going to be a massive heel, and Rich Holland is going to get sort of recruited as his heater. And I think I like the second of those better. I really do. So we'll see what happens with that next week. Sean Spears with a big guy behind him, a la, you know, Shawn Michaels and Diesel is the obvious example. In more recent times, MJF and Wardlow, which was great. MJF is one we need to pull over to the winning side, but that's another story. Imagine MJF managed by Paul Heyman. I'm just saying. And people will say, well, why does he need Paul Heyman? He doesn't need somebody to speak for him. Neither did CM Punk. And it was still awesome. So let's go. I want to see where this is going. Piqued my interest. It's all good. We're off to the races. The Wolf Dogs. Oh, sorry. I should say, before we move on to the Wolf Dogs, after we got the solution to who was behind the spooky vignettes, we got a new mystery in the same show, which was literally just footage of a beach with "see you soon" carved into the sand, and then this big stamp of Roadblock. Now, two things this could be. There's a wild guess, and there's a more reasonable guess. The wild guess is that it could be Tama Tonga, who's coming to WWE, who I don't think has a no-compete clause, because I think he saw his contract out to the end. If you want my more complete thoughts on the possibility of Tama Tonga coming to the WWE, go back to the immediate previous pod. I did a pod on that. Drew McIntyre's current situation, and the fact that TNA is possibly going to find a new home at Full Sail, which is kind of cool. Please go check that out. I'd love to get some more eyeballs on that, and I'd like to know what you guys think. But wild guess, it could be Tama Tonga. More realistically, it could be the return of Sol Ruka, who's awesome. Who's, like, flat-out awesome, and we've barely scratched the surface, as the cliche goes, of what she can do. And if it's not the big, massive surprise like a Tama Tonga, and it is the return of Sol Ruka, I'll be happy about that, too. I really, really will. Wish her the best. Hope she's doing well. Hope we see her. If it's not her, I hope we see her back on the TV soon. If it is Tama Tonga, and he's joining the Good Brothers, which we're going to talk about now, then you've gone big. You've gone big, not gone home. Speaking of tag teams in general, but like the Good Brothers, etc., very, very clearly the match that they are setting up for Stand and Deliver is the Wolf Dogs versus the Good Brothers, which will be fantastic. The Good Brothers in NXT, I was about to say TNA there, they look bigger than the show, which is kind of great. They had their first NXT match this past week against Idris Nofe and Malik Blade to predictable results, quite honestly. I mean, they're going to mow through some teams. Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin are going to bore through some teams. It's kind of funny that four main card attractions are going to fight over the NXT tag team titles. I'm not going to lie. Baron Corbin has come back down. The Good Brothers just came back down. And Braun Breaker just got called up. He just got signed to Nick Aldis's SmackDown. And they made a big deal of it. And he's an NXT champion. So it's weird. It's strange. We will see how it goes. Unfortunately, the ones that are going to play speed bump in this entire scenario are Andre Chase and Duke Hudson, with probably Riley Osborne in their corner, and Thea Hale getting picked on by JC Jane, which is awkward. I think the match is going to be good. I think the match is going to be a lot of fun. It's Chase U stuff, so it's more character work than in-ring work, which is fine. But the absolutely, absolutely, absolutely dumbass jock energy of the Wolf Dogs is a lot of fun. With the Good Brothers in NXT, I was going to say back in NXT, but they were never an NXT act. With the Good Brothers in NXT, with the Wolf Dogs still in NXT, I would love if for one night we could bring the Creeds back down, because that's a triple threat tag match that I would really like to see. So much, like I said, I wish I had a better way of explaining it, but so much dumb jock energy in one match would be absolutely amazing. Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin are not losing their titles until Stand and Deliver, which is absolutely fine. You know who else is not losing their championships? Is the Kabuki Warriors. Kabuki Warriors holding the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships, because the NXT ones went away, and that kind of sucks, because there's more feasible female teams on NXT than there is on the main roster, it seems. But here's the real story. Here's the rub, as it were. Lyra Valkyria has been stalked by Tatum Paxley for a long enough time now. Tatum Paxley, I don't know what else to say about her other than she plays a really good psycho. And, you know, it's just one more WWE putting out one more crazy chick character. But, yeah, but she's good at it. And Lyra Valkyria is so good right now at playing the awkward line between, she's not that bad, maybe she's just a little misjudged, etc. And, oh, shit, I'm actually kind of creeped out and I think she's going to put me in a freezer. Which is fine. She promised Tatum Paxley she would have a surprise for her if Tatum Paxley stayed away from her title shot, her title defense against Shotzi. Now, that ended with Shotzi getting injured. Obviously, first and foremost, we want to send good, positive, healing vibes out to Shotzi. Couldn't have happened to a nicer person. I do like the fact that they said, okay, that match can't continue anymore, so now it's an impromptu open challenge that was answered by Lash Legend, and they wrestled for like 2 minutes, and they gave us something. But I applaud them for the effort, if nothing else. People are being way too hard on Ava as well, who's trying to play this new GM character, and people hate her because she's related to The Rock. Stop being weird to Ava. Stop being weird to Maxine fucking Dupree, who's green as hell and trying her best and getting shit on at house shows, which is terrible. Don't be terrible. Welcome to my TED Talk. Try not to be an asshole. That's the end of the TED Talk. Kabuki Warriors coming back down to NXT should get them a nice ratings number, if nothing else. Kind of like the Good Brothers will bring them a good number, and people will cry about that as well. I don't know what this match looks like. I don't know whether they lose and it causes Tatum Paxley to break a little bit and she snaps on Lyra. I don't know if they try to go in some sort of other, like, Lyra turns heel and blames her stalker for them losing and her chance to be the double champion, because let's not forget, she has to figure herself out a number one contender for Stand and Deliver as well. So it's always an awkward thing where it's like, okay, she holds two belts, which one are they going to focus on? Clearly the women's championship. But that does that mean you take the women's championships, or the women's tag team championships, off of the WrestleMania card? That doesn't make sense. There's no way the Kabuki Warriors are losing. They're going to win. What Lyra and Tatum do after that, I don't have a direct line other than Tatum loses her shit. Lyra, you know, momentarily gets mad at her just for costing her a win. And then Tatum snaps on the snap. Do you have it where one of the Kabuki Warriors pins Lyra, and then she gets herself a potential singles title match later on in the week, and she only has to deal with that because of Tatum, and that causes some friction. I don't know whether Lyra versus Tatum is a stand-and-deliver match, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd love it to be Fallon Henley, but I don't know how she fits in the mix right now. Fallon Henley is being a good friend to Thea Hale, so are they a new tag team? We don't know. I like that we're getting the match, and out of all of these, I don't know what we're doing. I know the result, for sure. I don't know what it means, if that makes sense. Dijak and Joe Gacy are going to have another match. This time it's an Asylum match, because I guess they can't call it an Ambrose Asylum match because Agent Ambrose hasn't come back to WWE yet. It's going to be a good time. They had a good, fun time. Last time, Joe Gacy's been walking around in a straitjacket for 2 weeks because Dijak beat the shit out of him, put him in a straitjacket, and then interrogated him for a week and then got attacked by him in the straitjacket. Here's the thing. I don't know what Joe Gacy has done outside of NXT. I don't know to what extent his athleticism goes, because he's been more character than wrestler, and that's not a dig. If he can do an Orange Cassidy-esque, I'm going to have a full match, still wearing the straitjacket, no hands thing, that would be a lot of fun. In a cage. You got a straitjacket in a cage, and you still somehow win the match. Dijak was facing Luca Crucifino, who is NXT's extra from Law and Order, but he's all right. He's going to be recruited by the family. We're going to talk about that in a second. It's just going to be another stupidly fun match between these two, isn't it? Joe Gacy gets the win. Dijak goes crazy. They go for something even harder at stand and do they try? Here's a question for you guys. For those of you that actually watch NXT and enjoy it on the level that I do, do they somehow try to do an NXT Underground match at an NXT pay-per-view? Because Dijak and Joe Gacy in an NXT Underground match would be a lot of fun, but I don't think they would do it at Stand and Deliver. I think they would want something a little bigger. Or does something else happen where Crazy Joe Gacy becomes more crazy? There's a lot of crazy Joes out there, just putting it out there. Sometimes they're sleepy, sometimes they're crazy. I'm just... Now, a match that I did not think I would be talking to you guys about this week is Carmelo Hayes not taking on Ilya Dragunov, but taking on Tony D'Angelo for the chance to take on Ilya Dragunov at Stand and Deliver. Now, we know we're not going to get Carmelo Hayes versus Ilya Dragunov at Stand and Deliver, because we're going to get Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams at Stand and Deliver. Now, the way I thought they were going to get to that was Carmelo Hayes gets a title shot at Roadblock, Trick costs him the title, and then they move on to have their feud at Stand and Deliver, and you have to still find somebody for Ilya. Now, this way that they've done it, and I love that they're just making Tony D'Angelo a world title contender out of nowhere, pretty much. But the way they've done this instead is it's a number one contenders match. So Trick costs Carmelo this match. Carmelo goes on to face Trick. Tony D'Angelo goes on to face Ilya Dragunov. There was some respect shown between Dragunov and D'Angelo, which I thought was really cool. That's a hell of a card. If we're looking at this card the way I'm seeing it right now, Carmelo Hayes versus Trick Williams, Tony D'Angelo versus Ilya Dragunov, maybe Lyra versus Tatum, who knows? Braun Breaker and Baron Corbin versus the Good Brothers, possibly Obafemi defending against, I don't know, who else is big? Dijak? Maybe, I don't know. Josh Briggs versus Obafemi would be a lot of fun, would be the Big E special, it would be the big men slapping man meat. Carmelo Hayes is going to put on a hell of a show. He's not going to lose anything by losing, because Trick Williams is going to cost him the match. Tony D'Angelo is going to have to elevate himself. I love the Tony D'Angelo character, and he's not bad in the ring, but it's been a little bit of a slapstick gimmick for so long now that you're going to have to do a little bit to get him into a title contention, especially against somebody like Ilya Dragunov, who looks insane. Because Ilya Dragunov, I have a feeling, after WrestleMania, is going to be in the WWE going after Gunther's Intercontinental Championship, if he's still got it after WrestleMania, which I'm pretty sure he will, which means Tony D'Angelo and the family are going to be having that NXT title for a little bit, and I don't know who he faces for it afterwards. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to think about. So right now, we're going to find out who the See You Soon from the Beach is. We're going to see what Shawn Spears and Ridge Holland's relationship is, whether it's a little guy with a heater behind him or whether it's Shawn Spears' first opponent. We really don't know. I'm pretty sure Lexus King is going to get himself involved in something, because Lexus King's awesome, let's be real for a second. I mean, Braun and Baron are going to retain. Maybe they have a face-off with the Good Brothers. Maybe we set in place some sort of mini-tournament between now and Stand and Deliver, which is not that far away, like 45 days or so. Kabuki Warriors are going to come in and make Lyra and Tatum look good before they lose. Dijak and Joe Gacy are going to give us a fun match. An Ambrose Asylum match without the Ambrose is fine. Carmelo Hayes is going to have an awesome match with Tony D'Angelo and get screwed over by Trick. There's your spoiler alert. I don't know. This is a lot of fun. Like I say, I'm looking at this, as funny as it sounds, because, you know, Perth had like 52,000 people in a stadium, and this is taking place in the Performance Center, but this is serving the Elimination Chamber purpose for NXT heading into Stand and Deliver. And let's not forget, Stand and Deliver is technically the first thing you see WrestleMania weekend. So get WrestleMania weekend off on the right foot, all that kind of stuff. Stand and Deliver, even as I'm talking about it right now, already sounds good. It already sounds good because we pretty much know where everything is going, because that's when you get the long-term storytelling. That's when you get the deft dovetailing booking that other companies just don't give you. Let me know what you guys are thinking heading into Roadblock next Tuesday. I've been Spaz, your YWC reality check. Subscribe up there, talk down there, start a conversation, keep all these conversations going. Don't be a stranger. I'll talk to each and every last one of you later, but right now I am tagging everybody.